Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Fryer Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, the Frank Fryer, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all from Middletown, New York. And today, just going to talk about some Easter items, particularly one in general. And then I'm hoping when we get in the second week of Easter to get back to St. Teresa of Avila. I received some messages about that. I'll be getting back to her. Don't you worry about it now. This is a crazy time of year for us priests, as I think for all Catholics. But so this week I'm going to be focusing on a couple aspects of Easter. And there's a particular line from the gospel at the vigil, the Easter vigil, that I wanted to go into. And it's very early on. It's Mark chapter 16, verse 2 or 3. I don't have it in my notes, but it's very early on. And it reads, "Very early, when the sun had risen on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb," period, end quote. Who are they? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They were bringing spices to care for the body of Jesus. But that very early in the morning, when the sun had risen, this is sort of the Carmelite wheelhouse here. We have these two ancient, raw, symbolic, but yet natural and real at the same time, things colliding. We have the sunshine is coming over the horizon, so the sun is beginning to shine, and these women are going to a tomb, into the darkness of the earth. And in their movement, we see something profound happening. You know, the Lord has risen. The light of the early morning dawn has triumphed over the darkness of the tomb. The darkness of the tomb gives way to the light of something new. And we Carmelites spend a lot of time within our charism, within our tradition, wrestling with the concept, the reality, and I would dare say even the necessity of darkness. Now, I don't mean darkness in the diabolical or evil sense, but in the darkness in terms of the unknowing. These women are still wrestling with what's happened to Jesus. And there's still an aspect of the unknowing in the darkness of the tomb, but yet it is yielding to the light of faith, to the light of revelation that comes about in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is making known to us who God is. Who God is. And we see this movement, and this is why we speak in Carmel of almost a necessity of the dark night, of the senses, and then of the soul. You know, going into the darkness of the tomb, the women, even with the stone rolled away, put their head in the tomb, looked in the tomb, and saw this man in a white garment there. And he tells them, oh, don't be amazed. You know, oh, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the crucified one, the one who was crucified, depending on your translation. But the identifying marks of the crucifixion still remain with Jesus. And even this angelic figure reminds the women of that. Like, oh, yeah, he was crucified. There's no getting around that, or et cetera. But this movement, you know, through the darkness into the light of that risen sun, of the early morning light, that dances in a certain way with the darkness that is still maybe hanging on from the night, or still there, this movement between this two, this permeating of the light into the darkness. Because darkness comes about from an absence of light, obviously, or we become blind for a second because of the light. So there's so much going on here. And, you know, my preaching, I sort of really focused hard on that the sun has risen and the movement of light and darkness as the wheelhouse and sort of the emptiness that darkness can have within itself, you know, sort of it's the starkness, the barrenness, the unknowing, you know, this is where sort of death, quote unquote, the sting of death, you know, it really gets at us. We need not fear that anymore. We need not fear death. We need not fear this darkness. We need not fear the tomb. You know, we can turn towards the light. We can move into the light. We can allow our eyes become those that are transitioning to be able to see in the light. Of course, this light I'm referring to is the light of faith that has been given over to us by the power of the Spirit because of what Christ has done, because who Christ is, both and what he did and who he is together. And I just love this morning hour. You know, this is when we speak of the dark night of the soul, you know, it's that darkest part of the night right before that rising of the sun. And this is where sort of hope grows. This is where hope sort of finds its wheelhouse in its presence. So there's so much going on in that one little line that reads, "Very early when the sun had risen on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb," period, end quote. So I just want to put these things out there, you know, particularly maybe if you're still dealing with the death in your life. We need not fear death anymore. We need not fear the darkness of the tomb anymore. The light of the risen sun, in this case, S-O-N, is upon us, is with us, is caring for us, is guiding us, and is opening us up to that life that Jesus has won for us upon the cross, that is made known to its fullest extent as possibly as we can experience here on earth through the resurrection. Thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. May God continue to bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much for your time today. If you like what I'm doing here, please make sure to click that subscribe button and leave a little review. It really does help me out. And if you want to talk with me, you can email me through my website, thefrankfriar.com. You can also see videos I've done. I put up some new videos recently, including one on Teresa of Avila and the Annunciation. You can also see a variety of different things I've written, and all these good things can be found at thefrankfriar.com. Thank you very much for your time today. I know that I'll be praying for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.